From Charlotte, North Carolina, welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters. Thank you for joining us for the Good Friday edition of the Bible Answer Man program. On this day, almost 2,000 years ago, our Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross to die for the sins of the world and give those who trust in Him eternal life. And now here's our host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And of course, we are on the verge of celebrating not only what happened with Christ's crucifixion, His death on our behalf, Good Friday today, but also we are celebrating the fact that Jesus Christ rose on the third day, not after 3 days, but on the third day. Jesus died on Passover Day to fulfill the conditions of being our Passover lamb, but He rose. And as a result of His resurrection, we know that we too will rise, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. Before we go to our callers, I want to engage some of the ramifications of resurrection for just a few moments. Address the question, will we be resurrected at the same age that we died? A question that comes up over and over again on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Of course, answering that kind of question requires a bit of sanctified speculation. When God created Adam and Eve in Eden, He created them with apparent age. Jesus died and was resurrected at the prime of His physical development. Our DNA is programmed in such a way that at a particular point we reach optimal development from a functional perspective. Prior to this stage, development of our bodies exceeds the devolution of our bodies. But from that point on, the rate of breakdown exceeds the rate of buildup, which of course eventually leads to physical death. With age, our muscles get shorter, our tissues degenerate, our hormone levels decline, our neurological functions break down. All that is part of the aging process. And all of that is to say that if the blueprints for our glorified bodies are in the DNA, then it would stand to reason that our bodies will be resurrected at the optimal stage of development determined by our DNA. In other words, our bodies will be resurrected at the optimal stage. Thus, it stands to reason that those who die will be resurrected physically mature, as God, of course, originally intended them to be. But one thing is sure. In the resurrection, there will be no deformities. You'll be the perfect you, I'll be the perfect me. The body was tarnished by the fall, but it will be utterly transformed in the resurrection. The fall turned things upside down. Before the fall, the body was a perfectly obedient servant of the soul, and the resurrection restores that relationship. Once the soul is perfectly subject to God, the perfected body can be perfectly subject to the soul. The highest flights of mystic ecstasy will be in this new resurrected body. So as you celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, remember, it is the very thing that animated first century believers to be lions of the faith. They didn't live for mean earthly vanities. They had their sights set on eternal verities. They knew that they would, like their Lord, rise one day, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. So they lived by a completely different standard. And that's what allowed them to turn a world upside down. And that, my friends, is what allows us as well to turn a world upside down. It may not be happening right now in the West. It is happening in the East. People coming out of ancestor worship and Taoism, Buddhism, Islam, recognizing that Christ, the resurrected one, is the one that ensures their resurrection. And now they're no longer fearful of persecution. In fact, they embrace it because they know it is merely temporary. Because while Christianity doesn't give us a peaceful way to come to terms with the maladies of life, it does give us something far greater, a way to overcome them through the power of Christ's resurrection. Again, we'll be celebrating that this weekend. We don't want to miss its implications. So Good Friday is called Good Friday for a reason. It leads to resurrection. Good Friday is the basis by which we are atoned for. Just as though we had never sinned, Christ bears all of our sin, all of our maladies, all of our hurts, all of our pain on the cross. And after his passion complete, says, "It is finished. It is paid in full." And then, on resurrection, the first day of the week, he ensures by his own resurrection that we too will rise. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to our phone callers. First up, let's go to Stuart. He's listening on Sirius 161 in Mississippi. Hi, Stuart.
Hi. Yes, I was wanting to know, if you decide to take your own life, do you go to hell for that?
Well, remember that if you are a believer, you're not going to go to hell. But if you're a believer, you're also not going to knowingly take your own life. The reason is, as a believer, you recognize that life and death is not your prerogative. Rather, it is the prerogative of God. And therefore, in your right mind, you would never take a prerogative that is God's alone. So you cannot absolutely say with certainty that suicide is the unforgivable sin, but you can say with certainty that no believer in their right mind would ever murder oneself and violate a commandment of God. Taking their own life is the murdering of oneself and therefore completely out of touch with a Christian worldview.
Yes, sir. Okay. I'm glad you cleared that for me.
Why are you asking?
I just, you know, sometimes you feel there's no way out. Yeah, it just ponders my mind sometimes. And
well, Stuart, I can tell you there is a way out. And
yeah, there he is. There's, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to say.
Well, let me tell you, Stuart, God has a purpose for your life. All the days ordained for you were written in his book before one of them came to be. He has a purpose for your life, and you find that purpose by developing a rich relationship with the lover of your soul through prayer, by getting into the Word of God and getting the Word of God into you, and by recognizing that you can't go this life's journey on your own. You need other Christians to encourage you. If you're going through a deep and dark valley in your life, you need other brothers that can hold you up. Because one of the things that happens, Stuart, is you lose perspective at times, and you have to regain that perspective. We all do. We lose perspective, and we have moments of despondency, and then we might do things that we would say we would never do if we were in our right mind. But if you think of the fact that God knit you together in your mother's womb, and that he loved you enough to die for you, you know that he also has numbered every hair on your head. He cares about every detail of your life. You can make it through the dark, dreary environs of this world. In fact, when you get to the darkest spot, you'll find that you're lifted up suddenly and that Christ is carrying you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. That helps.
Here's what I want you to do. I want you to get a Bible and I want you to meditate on Psalm 139.
Psalms 139?
Yeah. Just read it over and over again. Meditate on it. Meditate on it means that you read it over and over, you digest it in your mind, and it will give you the certain knowledge that no matter where you are, no matter what you're experiencing, God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is there with you every step of the way. You can be absolutely certain of that. So I would meditate on it. If possible, memorize it. Just keep going over and over and over it in your mind until it becomes a part of who you are. And it will give you the encouragement you need when you're in the darkest part of the storm.
Okay, I appreciate that. I really do. Psalms 139, and I'll get right on it.
Thank you for calling, Stuart.
And thank you. Thank you for caring enough to listen, and I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
You got it, my friend. And I want to pray for Stuart. Oh, Lord, please be with Stuart and encourage him. Bring other believers to his aid. Help them to be the balm of Gilead in his life. And Lord, we remember your words. You've searched us. You know us. You know when we sit, when we rise. You perceive our thoughts from afar. You discern our going out and our lying down. You're familiar with all our ways. Before a word is on our tongue, you know it completely. You hem us in behind and before. You've laid your hand upon us. Such knowledge is too wonderful, too lofty for us to attain. Where can we go from your spirit? Where can we flee from your presence? If we go up to heavens, you're there. If we make our bed in the depths, you are there. If we rise on the wings of the dawn, if we settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide us and your right hand will hold us fast. If we say, surely the darkness will hide us and the light become night around us, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. You created our inmost being. You knit us together in our mother's womb. We can praise you because we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. We know that full well. Our frames were not hidden from you. When we were made in the secret place, when we were woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw our unformed body. All the days ordained were written in your book before even one of them came to be. Stuart, and everyone listening in can have the certainty that life doesn't give us a peaceful way to come to terms with depression and anxiety and even death and despondency. But it does give us something far greater, the hope of resurrection. That's why we can face tomorrow. I want to go back to the phone lines. Let's talk next to Tony. She's listening in El Paso, Texas. Hi, Tony.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Well, great. I wanted to let you know I found my Christian station here a few months ago, and I've listened every day.
Oh, great.
And really have learned a lot. The issue that I have been struggling with is the idea that some people have in relation to when God created Adam, he created Eve to be a partner for him. And the part that I hear this a lot in a lot of messages, but I have never heard where someone has given specifics. You know, when we're married, we become one. However, we are to have... The husband and wife have two personalities, and they need to work together to be one and to live together in harmony. But I need a description or, for instance, because I find that a society takes that particular issue and turn it into issue of the wife being subservient and less than her husband, and
Yeah, which is completely the opposite, I would say, Tony, from what you find in a biblical worldview. What you find in a biblical worldview is that the wife is not subject to her husband. In fact, the wife and husband must subject themselves to one another, and that's what the biblical text tells us, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So it is not only the wife submitting to her husband, it is the man submitting to his wife. And what that means is that husbands are called to give up their own rights to love their wives as Christ loved the church. To yield one's own rights does not denote obedience. The word obey does not appear in Scripture with regards to wives, only with respect to children within the context of the family. Submit to one another so that we might honor one another and reverence one another. And the ultimate example given in Ephesians, you want to read that, Ephesians 5 and 6, is Christ in the church.
The information age has arrived with many benefits, but it also has a dark side. Technology capable of delivering information both conveniently and rapidly has fostered a condition in some users known as information overload. As defenders of the Christian faith, we must be prepared to shepherd wayward travelers in cyberspace through the universe of information that the new technologies have wrought. Learn to be discerning in this age of information when you read The Mesmerizing Misinformation Maelstrom by James Patrick Holding in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. To start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal, just go to equip.org or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. The Bible Answer Man will return after this short break. Master the defense of the resurrection in minutes and remember it for a lifetime with the Hankrenem series, Resurrection, Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. To make the facts of the resurrection memorable and easily referenced, Hank has developed the Hankrenem Feat and created the second in a series of specifically designed flip charts. Laminated, tabbed, and sized to fit in your pocket, this incredible tool will allow you to defend the truth of the resurrection on a moment's notice. Available for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or when you go online to equip.org. Multitudes of Christians have been given a wildly distorted understanding of the biblical teaching about faith. In the late 20th century, Word of Faith teachers such as Kenneth Hagin and Benny Hinn were at the fore.
The Bible declares clearly that faith is a force.
In the early 21st century, they are overshadowed by a new breed of prosperity preachers with rock star platforms like Joel Osteen and Paula White.
God said to challenge the people to give $66.12 according to Psalm 66:12. When you put your faith with the word, then you have mandated results.
Hank gives hope and truth to the millions trapped in the faith movement in his landmark book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. To get your copy of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the autographed and limited leather editions. Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. The debate between human freedom and determinism has been raging for centuries. Gain a biblical perspective on human nature in John S. Hammett's article entitled, Between Radical Freedom and Total Determinism. The information age has many benefits, but it also has a dark side, information overload. Learn how to navigate through cyberspace with James Patrick Holding's article, The Mesmerizing Misinformation Maelstrom. Other topics include problems with the gold plates of the Book of Mormon, the legacy of G.K. Chesterton and Dorothy Sayers, Jesus, the begotten Son of the Father, and much more, as well as the insightful Ask Hank column.
Call CRI and start your subscription today. 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Does everyone go to heaven? Are the souls of the unsaved simply annihilated? What do you believe about hell? The doctrine of hell is frightening and about the furthest thing possible from today's attitude of tolerance. But as Christians, we know that we can't choose to believe only the doctrines we like. You have to ask yourself, if there is no eternal torment, if the unsaved will either be annihilated or end up in heaven, why would we need a Savior? Hank Hanegraaff's CD, Answers for Today, Hell and Our Loving God, gives clear biblical reasons why hell is in fact a reality, and also why it's necessary. When you support the Christian Research Institute this month, we'll send you the audio CD, Hell and Our Loving God, as our gift to you. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. We return now to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Anthony, listening on KCIV in Kerman, California. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, Hank.
How are you?
Nice being on the air with you.
Well, it's great to have you.
Yeah, I had a question about this man. You know, I've seen some things on online about him. He's a prophet from Africa in Nigeria, and I'm trying to find information on him, but I can't find enough.
The man is who?
His name is T.B. Joshua, Prophet T.B. Joshua.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of this man?
Yeah. In fact, we looked up his ministry, the Synagogue Church of All Nations. And one of the things you'll find out right away, and it's probably all you need to know about him, is that he claims a miraculous birth. He claims that he remained in his mother's womb for 15 months before he was born. And if that is true, then he is a singular person in history. And that's what he's, in essence, claiming to be through this kind of outrageous, outlandish, unsupported claim.
Yeah.
It simply didn't happen.
On Wikipedia, I read that, and I was like, that's really hard to believe. Especially because our Lord didn't have a 15-month, birth.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, these guys are claiming miracles and prophecies to attest to their words. The problem is their words don't square with Scripture. You have a much different thing in the Bible. Those who inscripturated the Word of God as they were being empowered and inspired by the Holy Spirit, moved along by the Spirit of God, were attested to by miracles, and therefore we can regard their testimony as true. So the miracles that they experienced, we should not suppose are normative today. They were the very things that cause us to recognize that these are genuine prophets in the Old Testament. Their prophecies came true 100% of the time, unlike today's modern prophets.
Yep.
The apostles and prophets did the miraculous, and the miraculous attested that they were not just eyewitnesses of Christ or associates of eyewitnesses, but they were the very eyewitnesses called upon to give us the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. So the miracles attest to that. And they're not normative, again, such that we can say there are counterparts in the world today. We now have the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, and we know by the words of Jesus Christ himself, even if someone rises from the dead, people are not going to believe if they don't accept the testimony or the revelation we already have. So we already have the revelation. Now we can test a TB, Joshua, by the revelation that already exists and hold fast to that which is good. So these guys claim the miraculous, but they can't do the mundane, which is the elbow grease of learning how to read the Bible for all it's worth and recognizing it as the source of truth that it really is. So don't fall for the wolves in sheep's clothing, or the ones who draw attention to themselves rather than drawing attention to the testimony of the apostles and the prophets and Jesus Christ, the cornerstone of it all.
Yeah, well, I've watched many of his videos, and I was just going to say that he's a deliverer too. He's a deliverer supposedly and a prophet, and you know he's head of the synagogue church of all nations, and he's gone on many crusades to Singapore, Indonesia, Australia, delivering people from demonic oppression. And,
yeah, but remember when you see the people he's delivering. Who are the people, when he goes to Singapore, who are the people that line up in his deliverance sessions? Are they unbelievers? No, he's delivering believers of their demons. They're lining up, and he's believing that Christians can be demon-possessed. So he's got a false view of deliverance on top of it all. I wrote about that in a book called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. And this is one of the things we want to do as well. As believers, make certain we recognize in spiritual warfare that the first principle is God's power to protect. It's not Satan's power to pillage. Satan's power to pillage is the sensational. It's what people gravitate towards. But this is not the kind of thing that is no harm, no foul. By a false view of spiritual warfare, there are spiritual and sometimes even physical consequences. We've all heard the stories. They've ended up in lawsuits in court where deliverance ministries are seeking to press the devil out of a person and then crushing them physically in the process. Death ensues. And in the process, something worse than death happens. Christ's name gets dragged through the mud. Let's not fall for false teachers. Let's test their false teachings in light of Scripture. Hold fast to that which is good. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Josephine next. She's listening in Kansas. Hi, Josephine.
Hi. Oh, it's good to talk to you, Hank. I've listened to you for a few years. But I have a question for you, and I've waited a long time, but I need to ask you, what do you think about Jimmy Swaggart's teaching?
It's very inconsistent. If you have good discernment skills, then you sometimes can get some good teaching, certainly when it comes to presenting the gospel and the like. Although he's had a sordid life himself, he is now making somewhat of a resurgence along with his son. But there are a lot of teachings that simply don't square with Scripture. For example, he has taught that within the Godhead, there are three separate and distinct persons, each one having his own spirit body, personal soul, and personal spirit. And that is a significant doctrinal error that's called tritheism, the belief in three separate gods. And he's also asserted that God's body is in one place at one time, which again militates against the very nature of God. And then he makes irresponsible, sweeping generalizations. He's attacked psychology and the Roman Catholic Church without adequate qualification. I can make statements with respect to teachings of Roman Catholicism, and they can be critical statements, but they're not generalizations or, in his case, sweeping generalizations. And so I think that he's not a good person to follow for someone that has discernment skills. And if you don't have discernment skills, it can be tragic to your faith.
So you wouldn't actually call him a false prophet, would you?
No, because there are certainly times where he is communicating the gospel, and I think in such a way that it has redemptive value to someone. I'm saying that a believer that is growing in their faith doesn't want to get their theology from Jimmy Swaggart.
I see. Thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. We'll go back to the phone lines now. Talk to Troy, listening on Sirius 161 in Detroit. Hi, Troy.
Hello, Mr. Hanegraaff. I appreciate your efforts on our behalf.
You got it. My privilege.
I have a couple of friends that I'm a Christian, but I'm not the best Christian, so most of my friends are non-believers, and one of the biggest questions I fall in have to deal with is how do you coincide dinosaurs and the Bible? And, you know, I really, well, the only thing I really find is about the behemoths and such and so forth, and I don't know how to tell my friends, you know, they were created by God and such, and they all say, well, don't you think Adam would have probably have been eaten by a T-Rex or something?
Well, I mean, I think the thing that you have to recognize when you deal with these kinds of things is that God has two books. He has the book of knowledge, or the Bible. He also has the book of nature, which is to say that if you look at the book of nature, you know that dinosaurs existed. The question that's debated by Christians is when they existed. And certainly, there are many Christians that hold to an old universe, and they do so on the basis of the book of nature. They look at nature, they read that book carefully, and they realize as a result of that, that we live in an old universe, and therefore the presupposition is that dinosaurs could have predated Adam by literally millions, actually hundreds of millions of years.
Okay, then the next question that I had, okay, because God created the world in 7 days, right?
Well, again, this gets to my other point, and that is you have to be able to read the Bible critically as well. That's an art and that's a science, which is to say that when the Bible talks about the 7 days of creation, one must not suppose that within that we have a chronology of creation. What we actually have there is a hierarchy of creation with humankind as the crowning jewels of God's creation. So rather than reading it chronologically, I think we're better served to read it chirologically and understand God's purposes, recognizing that God is unbounded by time. So we look at effects linearly and say an effect follows a cause. We look at things chronologically, but God is not bounded by time. And thus we have to recognize that we shouldn't just look at the Bible from a humanistic standpoint. We have to look at this from a sanctified, godly standpoint, recognizing the nature of God and God's heavenly condescension to use physical realities to communicate spiritual truth. And one of the beauties that you have at the very beginning in Genesis is a mnemonic device by which every single day of the week we can remember God's creative prowess. And so it's something that is imprinted upon the tablet of our consciousness and becomes a pattern by which in the Decalogue we learn to live our lives by the pattern that God set forth for us in the heavenly condescension that we find in the account of Genesis, which is a historical narrative, but obviously laced or interlaced with a Jewish poetic structure as well. So we want to read it literally, which means that we want to read it as literature, take it in the sense in which it's inspired, because at the end of the day, it's not just literature, it's inspired literature. Now, there are young earth creationists that believe that dinosaurs lived at the same time as humankind, and therefore there is a debate amongst Christians that ought to not divide, but cause us to have iron sharpen iron.
The mission of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is clear: to defend the reliability of Scripture, give reasons for faith, and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. In a world that is increasingly hostile to the gospel, we will not compromise for the sake of political correctness or popularity, but we are determined to stand for truth no matter what the cost. If this uncompromising devotion to truth resonates with you, won't you please join us? We depend on faithful monthly supporters to continue this crucial charge God has entrusted us with. To join the Bible Answer Man monthly support team, just call 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org. The Bible Answer Man will return after this. If you've ever wondered how a loving God could condemn anyone to hell forever, ask yourself this question. If there is no hell, if the unsaved will either be annihilated or end up in heaven, why would we need a Savior? Why would God send His Son to suffer and die, bearing all our sins on His shoulders, if the worst future that could await us was a peaceful oblivion? Those who deny the everlasting torment of God's righteous wrath against unrepentant sinners in hell out of a desire to be fair and compassionate have actually cheapened God's love and undermined the greatest sacrifice ever made. Order Answers for Today, Hell and Our Loving God, a message by Hank Hanegraaff. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Alaska. There's no better place on earth where you can experience God's creative power on display. Stretching beyond your imagination, it is a land of staggering natural beauty. And now you can join the Bible Answer Man Hank Hanegraaff, Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp, and Christian Research Journal Editor-in-Chief Elliot Miller for 7-plus inspiring days as you cruise into the grandeur of Alaska. During our time together, we'll unfold the pages of sacred scripture as we are strengthened in our belief in the divine creator of the universe. All of our sessions with Hank, your meals, accommodations, and 5-star cruise are included in one very low price. To participate in this event, you must register through Sovereign Cruises. Sign up by visiting equip.org or by calling Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 101. Archaeologists are regularly unearthing new discoveries about the ancient world. Who lived where and when? What life was like at specific times in history. But according to some rather vocal skeptics, there is little or no historical evidence for the reliability of the Bible. Are these skeptics right? Is the evidence so lacking that we can no longer trust the Bible as the divine word of God? Hank Hanegraaff dispels these myths and gives you a simple and memorable tool to know for certain that the Bible is the most reliable book in all antiquity in the archaeologist's spade. Our gift to you when you partner with the Christian Research Institute to defend the truth of the Bible. Help defend the truth with your gift and request the special booklet equipping you with the historical facts for the reliability of Scripture. You can call us at 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org to request your copy today. You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to equip you to think Christianly. Not only do we provide books, videos, and well-researched articles, but you can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived shows, get answers to pressing Bible questions, and follow our blog or connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. You can also sign up for our weekly e-newsletter and receive special benefits. All of this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. Well, now let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Once again, here's Hank.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a quick reminder not to take this ministry for granted, and certainly not to take the Bible Answer Man broadcast for granted. Over the last couple of years, we've had to drop a lot of stations because we simply did not have the resources to continue on. By God's grace, we are reclaiming some of those stations, but the only reason that we can touch the lives of people for time and for eternity, not only in the West, but indeed around the world, is because people are standing with us prayerfully and financially. So when I say don't take this ministry for granted, I'm speaking from experience here and urging you to prayerfully consider supporting the ministry financially and prayerfully. If you can join the monthly support team, it would make a world of difference. You can do that on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Just go to equip.org/donate, select Bible Answer Man Support Team, and then fill out the online form, or just call our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letters CRI, it stands for Christian Research Institute, or, of course, you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And for those joining the monthly Bible Answer Man Support Team, be happy today, particularly as we're celebrating Good Friday, to send you my book, Resurrection, personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. The book available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Again, I'll personalize it for you, something to remember not only the resurrection of Jesus Christ and how to defend it, but to know the details of your resurrection as well. I want to go back to the phone lines now, talk to Virginia. She's listening in Queens, New York. Hi, Virginia.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
You're no longer in New York, but I miss you. My question is Franklin Jensen. What can you tell me about him?
Well, he is a classic televangelist with a television program known as Kingdom Connection. And like most of the Word Faith teachers, he declares men to be little gods. He says, in the garden before Adam fell to sin, we were bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. We were made in the image of God. We were little gods just like God. He teaches the whole notion that faith is a force, words are the containers of the force, and through the force of faith, one can create their own reality. And then also does the manipulative stuff. When you pray, you can release the 30-fold return. And when both prayer and giving are part of your life, he says, I believe that releases the 60-fold blessing. And when all three, giving, praying, and fasting, are part of your life, that 100-fold return can be released. Well, it's a spiritualizing of a give-to-get-con. The basic idea is you send a certain amount of money, and then you get either 30 or 60 or 100-fold blessing. So it's a way to give to get. Where in biblical theology, you don't give to get, you give because you sincerely love the Lord and you want to extend his kingdom. You give because you're demonstrating that you lean upon the arm of God more heavily than upon the arm of flesh, and you are giving to meet the needs of people spiritually and physically. So Jensen Franklin is not a man that I would recommend. I've written in principle about him and many other Word of Faith teachers in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century.
I couldn't find him, or this Mike Evans either.
Yeah, Mike Evans is another guy. He's a Christian Zionist. I wrote about him in the Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. But he's a Christian Zionist that some of the racist things he says with respect to Palestinians just are absolutely mind-boggling. Again, I've dealt with that in a book called The Apocalypse Code. Thank you for your call, Virginia. I want to move on now. Talk to Tim. He's listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Tim.
How are you doing, sir?
Good. How are you?
All right. God bless you for what you do for the kingdom.
Thank you.
I know the emphasis that the Word God puts on I am. God pronounced himself as I am. So it was curious to me that in John 1:1, it uses the word was there. And so I was wondering, there's significance to that.
Well, yeah, the context, again, becomes determinative, because in John, you have John talking about Jesus and saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. So he's talking about Jesus at the beginning of time, in an epic of history past, when Jesus Christ spoke and the universe leapt into existence. So he says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and then emphasizes the fact that the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and what happened in the beginning? In other words, when the universe was created, what happened? Through him, says John, all things were made, past tense. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And then he makes clear, so that we don't miss the point, that the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. He's talking what Jesus did when he walked this earth. When John walked this earth, Jesus walked this earth in the present. But Jesus Christ forever will be. And John points that out in the book of Revelation as well. He's not only past, present, and future. He is indeed forever. He existed before the foundation of the world, and we will experience him in eternity as well.
And like I said, that's why it became, it was curious to me that Jesus used the word was, because if Jesus is God, then...
But think God of what then. John says to contextualize that. Catch this, Tim. Here's what Jesus himself says. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is, and then he says, who was, past tense, and who is to come, the Almighty. So Jesus Christ himself refers to himself as the one who is, who was, and who is to come.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that.
You got it. And, of course, we have in that very passage such a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ. He's dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. His head and his hair, white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like blazing fire. His feet like bronze glowing in a furnace. His voice, like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars. Out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. His face, like the sun shining in all of its brilliance. Now, that is not intended to tell us what Jesus Christ looks like, but it is intended to tell us what Jesus Christ is like, very much like when he is called himself the Alpha and the Omega, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. Back to the phone lines. Let's talk to Jim, listening on KCCV, Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Jim.
Hello, how you doing, Hank?
Good, how are you?
All right. I had a question in reference to a call about Robert Tilton in the ministry.
Yeah.
In view of what the Bible says about making vows and oaths and those type of things, God would not hold, you know, when these people are asking persons to make vows of faith and that kind of thing, God wouldn't actually hold somebody to that kind of thing, would he?
No, God doesn't hold us to our own sins. What we are called to do is ask forgiveness for those sins. Now, there are vows that God does hold us to. So if you stand before God and you stand before the state and you vow to cherish a woman, to love her and honor her and respect her and nurture her and care for her until death do you part, that's a vow that you are making not only to a woman, but a vow that you are making to your Lord.
Right.
Because you're connected like a triangle with God at the top of the triangle. And the closer you come to one another, the closer you come to God. So that's the kind of vow that you are held to, that you are held responsible for. But a vow to Robert Tilton is a vow to a false teacher.
Right. Okay. All right, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You got it, Jim. Appreciate your call. Sean next, listening in Topeka. Hi, Sean.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Hank. I got a question for you. I was calling in reference to T.D. Jake and Joel Osteen and tithing.
Yeah.
And I was wanting to know, Ken, that's the reason I got out of a church, is because I was noticing that the preacher kept asking for tithing, and he kept coming in with new suits, finally a new car, all this and all that. And then I got out of the church. I was needing to know, is there another way I could tithe to where because I want to tithe, but I feel uncomfortable giving my tithing to, you know, like that. Well, I want to know if there's another place I can tie that, you know, another place I can go to tie.
Yeah, I think what's important is to recognize that you are a steward of the resources that God gives you, and as such, you want to find ministries that are really making a difference for time and for eternity. You want to invest in those ministries. I mean, think about this from a crass secular standpoint. If you're going to make an investment in a business, you want to make sure that that business is really making a profit. Otherwise, you wouldn't want to invest in it. The same thing is true with a ministry. You want to invest in ministries that are making a difference for time and for eternity. So you need to make wise spiritual investments. And the whole notion of tithing is something that leads to free will giving, which is to say, at the end of the day, we want to give so that His kingdom may be extended. Not only would we be empowered through that to spread the gospel around the globe, but we would be enabled to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, care for the sick, like our forefathers who founded great centers of Christian education, established hospitals, funded relief organizations. We might yet leave an indelible mark on our generation. For only when the training wheels of tithing come off will the world of free will giving become our playground. Well, we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. We ask you to stand with us prayerfully and financially. You can do that on the World Wide Web at equip.org when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. And today, we close with a commemoration of the crucifixion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ for our sins. Do not let this day pass you by without remembering that Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. We're out of time. We'll see you next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in your walk with God, just go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-274, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is furnished by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. Master the defense of the resurrection in minutes and remember it for a lifetime with the Hankrenem series, Resurrection, Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. To make the facts of the resurrection memorable and easily referenced, Hank has developed the Hankrenem Feat and created the second in a series of specifically designed flip charts. Laminated, tabbed, and sized to fit in your pocket, this incredible tool will allow you to defend the truth of the resurrection on a moment's notice. Available for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or when you go online to equip.org.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The debate between human freedom and determinism has been raging for centuries. Gain a biblical perspective on human nature in John S. Hammett's article entitled Between Radical Freedom and Total Determinism. The information age has many benefits, but it also has a dark side, information overload. Learn how to navigate through cyberspace with James Patrick Holding's article, The Mesmerizing Misinformation Maelstrom.
Other topics include problems with the gold plates of the Book of Mormon, the legacy of G.K. Chesterton and Dorothy Sayers, Jesus, the begotten Son of the Father, and much more, as well as the insightful Ask Hank column.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.